show that seeks the truth. This is the Gary Doyle Show on 570 News.
It is 12 degrees in downtown Kitchener. When I get into the office this morning and I started, you know, you do the Google search, G20, you want to see the latest, you want to know what's going on. How is this meeting of the world's governments, or the top 20 anyway, in somebody's estimation, how is this going to make my life better? And all I can find is stories on how Prime Minister Harper missed a photo op. I got to think that's low on my priority list, unless you need another one of those photos for the mantle. Besides, he can always Photoshop himself back in again. So I thought it was interesting that seemed to be the focus at about 7:30 this morning. And here's what the Prime Minister had to say. He's hailing today's G20 agreement on stimulus spending. He says it is an unprecedented agreement that will buoy confidence in the global economy. The agreement, which calls for more than $1 trillion U.S. in stimulus spending, Mr. Harper calls complete and very strong. Canada says it will ante up another $10 billion U.S. for emergency international monetary fund assistance and is putting $200 million into the trade fund. So what do we make of this? Paul Heinbecker joins the show. He's a distinguished fellow at CG, which is the Center for National Governance Innovation, and just up the street in Waterloo. He was also our ambassador, Canada's ambassador, not CG's, to the United Nations from 2000 to 2004. He served as former Prime Minister Mulroney's chief foreign policy advisor. So he's got we wanted to find someone that actually understands all this stuff. So, Paul, thanks. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Is this good? Is this optics? Is this a step forward? How do you view this?
I think this is a way more than optics. This is a recognition that the situation is very serious, and some very serious steps have been taken. They've increased funding to the IMF by $1 trillion. The IMF is the organization that lends to countries that are in serious difficulties. And one of the great concerns is that a number of the emerging market countries and some of the poorer countries will effectively go bankrupt, and that will have an enormous impact on the international trading system. So that's a very important step forward. They've also taken steps to, you know, so there's more on the stimulus side as everyone was looking for. They also taken steps to strengthen international regulation and financial supervision. I think that there's a compromise evident in the language between those who think that the regulation should be done nationally and those who think it should be done internationally. But one of the interesting things they've done is created something called a Financial Stability Board, which is going to oversee the national behavior, so to speak, and bring to the world's attention when things are going wrong. For example, had we known that the rating agencies, the agencies that say whether debt, you know, or whether equities are sound or not, if we had realized that they were not performing, people would have been thinking very differently about the market. So that's what this kind of thing is intended to do. So I think all in all, it's strengthening the international institutions as well. So I think it's a very good outcome for now. In terms of, you know, is it going to affect people today and tomorrow? Probably not. This is, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and find that your wallet's got more money in it. But at the same time, it is going to get us back into a system that's actually working, because by and large, the international system has seized up. Trade has fallen off a cliff. Very hard for anybody to borrow money, and industries like the automobile industry are really feeling the pinch.
Okay, so we got here because there wasn't this level of international cooperation. Is that what I'm reading into this?
That's the situation exactly. We had we sort of put our faith in the market, and especially the Americans put their faith in the market. I'd have to say the Canadian system has been more prudent. But we put our faith in the market globally, and we assumed that everything would take care of itself, and that banks would have the self-interest of not putting themselves at risk. That was a mistake in our understanding of human nature. And another important thing they've done here, by the way, is try to bring under control these vast payouts for CEOs, and try to relate their compensation to performance, rather than to risk-taking. And that, I think, is likely going to be a very important thing, too.
You know, we talked about that in the first hour of the show, Paul, with Roger Martin from the Rotman School of Business. And oddly enough, none of the callers thought that CEO payouts and golden parachutes were a good thing. So I think that there's going to be universal support for that, maybe not in the CEO community.
Well, not in the CEO community. If you remember, among the very first reactions of Wall Street, typically, and you would expect them to do that, was that they when people started talking about these enormous CEO pays, and we had some of that in Canada. In fact, indeed, I think we had some of that from the Rothman Center itself. The idea was, oh, no, that's not really what the issue is. The issue is something else. But on closer examination, it turns out that people began to be rewarded for taking outlandish risks, and the greater the risks they took and succeeded at, the more money they made. And so it led to a kind of buccaneering capitalism and a lot of risk-taking. And when one day it happened that the bet failed, and then other bets failed, and then more bets failed as the system unwound, we were in deep trouble. So it really one of the central things is the compensation of CEOs.
Yeah, well, one of the other things that came out this morning, that, and I didn't read much on it because I didn't see a whole lot on it, but Mr. Sarkozy, the president of France, says that the group of 20 is pushing for the publication of a blacklist on tax havens, a name and shame list, if we can put it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's also significant, and you get because that's part of the way the financial system gets out of control, because no one knows what's going on in these places. And I think it's probably going to happen. And countries like Switzerland and Liechtenstein and the Cayman Islands and a few others are going to be unhappy. But I don't think that their unhappiness is going to withstand the onslaught of the determination of countries like the French and the Germans and undoubtedly the Americans and ourselves. So I think that will happen, and I think it should happen. The Swiss and others will say that they aren't really doing it, and if they aren't really doing it, then they won't have to worry about being shamed and being named.
So I guess what we have to do now is make sure there's follow-through on all this.
Well, that's what the G20 itself, in some respects, is all about. We used to have the G8. The G8, as we now know, it was too few countries. If you didn't have China and India and Brazil, some of the other Mexico, some of the other major economies, you could hardly ask them to implement the outcomes of a discussion among eight countries. You have to have the big players all present. They have to agree on the measures being taken, and then they have to implement it. But there is going to be a kind of a monitoring system among the G20 to make sure that people do what they said they were going to do, and to draw attention to those publicly who aren't doing it. So I think that's also a pretty good thing. There's a limit to how far you can go. There is such a thing as national sovereignty, and you can't make countries behave. There's no international sheriff who's going to come and put you in irons if you don't do what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, there is a pretty strong peer pressure, and that can be translated into bilateral economic disadvantages if people abuse the system.
And I guess that lack of accountability is why I question whether it's optics or not. So, and you've answered that one. I appreciate your time. I know you got a full list of people to talk to, so thanks for stepping out and chatting with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Paul Heinbecker is a distinguished fellow at CG. He was also Canada's ambassador to the United Nations for 4 years. He served as Prime Minister Mulroney's chief foreign policy advisor. The man's been around. He says this is good news, what we've heard out of the G20 today. But I ask you, is the G20, is this about optics or is this about results? Is this about our Prime Minister standing up there saying this is what we're going to do? Is this about Gordon Brown standing up and saying this is an absolute, the world gets it? Is this about Andrea Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, saying basically the same thing? The world gets it? Is this about Sarkozy saying we all get it? Do we? Is the G20 about optics, or is the G20 about results? We'll take your thoughts in a minute. This is 570 News.